All right, great to have you back with us. Good show so far. It's a lot of fun, and I hope the weather is good in Colorado today. You never can tell this time of year in Denver. All right, I know the weather is good where he is, and that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you?
Great, Marty. How you doing?
Good. Is the sun out where you are today?
It is. It's a bit of a rarity here, but, yeah, we're right at the top of the sunshine standings today.
All right, I like it. Very good. What a week for baseball. I must tell you, you know, I always like to think of things that, you know, you and I can chat about. And I said, holy cow, I mean, every day something happened. And let's start at least with the Giants. You know, they sweep the Pirates. They take 2-1 dramatic fashion, the last strike, a two-out home run by Crawford. Then they give it up the next night, and then all of a sudden Belt's bunting with two strikes on Thursday. And then they get a whip in Colorado. What a week.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out where they're at. I mean, they pulled off a couple of really just magical moments with the long ball there, and then they completely regressed. There's a lot of surrender in their game right now. Not literally, not like they're giving up, but, I mean, Belt, you know, bunting with two strikes in that situation, that's just giving something away. They give stuff away constantly with guys getting picked off and missing cutoff men, throwing to the wrong base. Belt's had three of his own throws go awry recently, and it's hard to put a lot of faith in a team that plays so often like that and basically doesn't hit, but that they're capable of some nutty developments. And, you know, the way the Phillies and the Padres are playing, I mean, the Giants are, they're not only in it in the standings, they're in it just spiritually too. I mean, it's really a race among teams that just aren't playing well at all.
No, I agree, and I thought the Belt bunt was a bad move. For Susan and I talked about it when she was on. He's your number five hitter. It's a seventh inning. You've got two on, and he's got two strikes, and it just tells you, boy, you know, to bunt. I mean, come on. And it's like Frank Howard. Howard bunted. You know the Danny Kaye song. The giant Hallelujah. That one,
yeah. No. Well, thing, no. You know, Belt is a very good bunter, and he's adept at dropping it down the left side. But you know, there's a time for that, and it's certainly not the time. You know, I mean, Belt is he's one of your power hitters. Just put it this way, you know, the Belt we remember, it wouldn't even think of that with two guys on and you're down. It wouldn't think of it.
No, not at all. No, not at all. And you know, so I thought that was a sign, and you know. The explanation afterwards, and it's why, you know, Gabe Kapler takes a little bit of heat now, you know, for this season. His explanation afterwards was a total analytic explanation as opposed to saying, you know, this is my number five hitter. You know, in that situation, I'd rather see him swing the bat, you know.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, you know, well, if you bunt with two strikes, your chances are 32%, but if you swing away with two strikes, it's 28%. I mean, you know, people's eyes glass over.
I was actually asleep, so somebody woke me up there.
Yeah, when he starts talking like that, and that's part of what's going on here, is that you've got to deal with the player. You've got to deal with the player. So, yeah, the funny thing is, Bruce, these are the dog days, and I bring it up. They're tough days in baseball. You don't have a lot of days off. The pennant race, the pennant fever, are you in it? Are you not? Can you make the run? It ratchets up tremendously, I think, this time of year. And I think the Giants are feeling a little bit of the dog days. I think there's tension with the manager, and I think there's tension on the ball club that they're trying to do too much.
Yeah, it is. And it's tough because, you know, the way they shift players in and out, it's hard for anybody to, you know, gain any consistency, you know, have a 5 or 6-game stretch where you're playing great and helping carry the team, because the next night, no matter what you did, you're facing a right-hander or a left-hander, whatever it is, and you're not in there. That's just the way they play it, and you know the roster is kind of built for that kind of thinking. But it really wears thin when you're not doing well. You know, when you're winning 107 games, hell, who's going to say anything about anything? You know, but when you're losing, you know, guys start thinking about how do I fit in here? I want to help this team so bad, and I'm not getting enough chances, and those things can lead to some grumbling. I don't think it's anything you wouldn't expect, you know, especially when analytics are ruling your strategy, and guys aren't playing consistently. It's going to happen. I don't think it's completely blown up. I'm certainly not on the scene, but you know, they're still in it, so they can get their mojo back, so to speak, because it's the dog days for everybody. I mean, San Diego, good grief, you know, Mario or Juan Soto is trying so hard to carry these guys, and he hasn't had a two-hit game in a week, and it's basically Machado and a bunch of tour guides at the Mission. I mean, man, are they boring.
Yeah. Well, come on. You know, that's the Giants are one winning streak away from getting back in this. And I said this earlier in the show. The fifth and sixth wild card spots, Bruce, they're going to be 86 wins, 87 wins, 85 wins. This is not – it's not going to take 90 to get in here. And they're one good winning streak away from getting back into this thing. And that winning streak could be the last 2 weeks of the year, or it can come in earlier September. But let's talk Padres for a second. They don't hit, as you said, tour guides. They got one guy who hits, and that's Machado, and Soto at least can give you some trouble. But the rest of them, they can't catch up to a fastball. But the dramatic story is Josh Hader. Bruce. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is well, he's leading the major leagues in saves, which is the most deceiving stat in the bigs right now. Ever since that trade, and really before that, when the Giants faced him in a Brewer uniform, he had some ghastly outings, and you're thinking, man, that doesn't look right. But now these last few games with the Padres, I mean, Thursday night he hits a guy to load the bases, then he walks home a run. Last night he uncorks a wild throw that scores a run, and then he gives up a two-run homer to a guy who just called up, Alex Call. And this is Josh Hader. I mean, he makes you nervous out there now. If you're a Padre fan, you're just waiting for ball four or something horrible to happen. And that's so not Josh Hader, and it happens so fast. And, you know, they've got Kim at short where Tatis should be. He's a good player, but he's not an impact player. You know, Grisham has the power, but you can't be hitting 190 or whatever he's hitting. And Profar hasn't done much, and it's amazing how we've liked the team all year, but just as a threat. But right now, the situation they're in, it's really tough. It's hard to watch. And then, you know, C.J. Abrams, one of the guys they gave up from the Soto deal, of course, gets a two-run single against them for Washington, and it's just landsliding right now. But that's the nature of the dog days. A lot of really weird things happen, and you know, it can reverse just as dramatically in September. You don't remember what happened in late August. The Giants and the Padres and the Phillies, who can't beat the Mets, are all thinking that.
The Phillies lost the first game today, I think, to the Mets. Now they got a doubleheader. They lost last night as well. So they've, you know, that really the whole thing, I'm telling you, this, other than the Braves Met thing, everybody else, I wouldn't stake my life on predicting anything of what's coming here. The Padres are looking like last year, except they have better pitching, but everything else, it looks like last year again. And Bob Melvin won't let that happen, I know that. Mm-hmm. But the Brewers, and Bruce, I've said this all year long, they don't hit. They don't hit. They got one hit today so far. They're losing 2-1 in the Cubs in the eighth inning today. They got one hit, and I'll tell you who didn't get the hit, and that's Christian Yelich. You know, they just don't hit at all, and they've got trouble getting the ball to Williams, the closer, who's a new closer. And they've got, other than Woodruff and Burns, they got pitching trouble too.
Yeah, when they were here, I think we got a good idea of how not impressive they are.
Really?
Now they really don't hit. And you know, Devin Williams is going to get some saves if they can get that far. They've got guys who hit the ball deep. You know, Tellez and Adames, Renfro. Those guys all have 20s, you know, homers in the 20s. I mean, Yelich is a .252. That's his best average in 3 years. You know, they don't hit consistently, and it's just you know, it's tough. They're the least impressive of the teams that we're talking about. The four teams below Atlanta trying to get those two wild card spots.
Yeah, the Giants need to win games. If San Diego and Milwaukee were winning now, they'd be buried, but they're not winning. And the Phillies are, you know, we'll see what they do after, you know, after this Mets series. But it's going to be interesting. All right, that's where the Giants are. There's plenty of baseball left to be played, and the teams ahead of them are not showing that they can put anybody away. How about the New York Yankees, Bruce? What's going on in New York? How about that?
They can't win. They can't win to save their lives. They can't win, and they're 73-48. I mean, that is pretty bizarre. But I mean, you know, the reality right now is whatever their overall record is they can't win a game to save their lives. They still have an 8-game lead, but one of the announcers last night after yet another loss said, "Same old song and it ain't Frank Sinatra." You know, they get a walk-off slam from Josh Donaldson and go straight back into the dumper again. You know, Frankie Montas has been really bad. 14 innings, 14 runs. They wanted Luis Castillo. They figured Montas wouldn't be a bad alternative, but he has been so far. I think Stanton coming back should make a difference. And Rizzo get his home run stroke a little bit. I still think he's going to hit 40. And I think the Yankees will get it back eventually. But, you know, it's just to watch him right now. Garrett Cole had a bad game today and kind of blew up in the dugout. And there's no frustration like New York frustration when the fans are on you and you can't seem to win and the pressure is just excruciating and it's 102 degrees and it's brutal. It's a real test of character, but we've seen a lot of Yankee teams come back and you know, sort of lay down the law. And this team obviously is capable of that.
Well, this may be the biggest meltdown in their history. They're 9-20 since the break, something like that. And Montas, as you say, got lit up. They scored 2 runs a game. They scored 2 today to Toronto. Bruce, Toronto is only 6 back in the loss column, and Tampa Bay is going to win today probably over Kansas City. They're winning 3-0 already. They're going to be 7 back in the loss column, and the Yankees have the Mets next week, too, to play. How about that?
Yeah, Toronto, I've just been waiting for them to make a real move. You know, Gary Gausman had a real good outing. Manoa's been good all year. Berrios had a good outing. Those are 3 really good starters there, you know, with Kirk and Gurriel and Vladdy, Bichette, Springer, Teoscar Hernandez. Those guys rake. And Chapman, I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't make a run and get closer to the Yanks. And yeah. I think Tampa Bay is a threat, too. I mean, Franco's been out forever. He's still out with that wrist injury, but he's going to come back. There's talk about Tyler Glasnow coming back after the long injury with the elbow. Those are 2 guys, spectacular players. So, you know, Randy Arozarena has been extremely good. So, yeah, I hope it tightens up. I'm tired of the Yankees leading by 100 games.
No, they've gone something like 17 and 27 since July 1st. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, 9 out of 10 games. They've scored less than 3 runs in a game. You know, really. So the numbers tell you. And the performance on the field tell you. And again, this is going to be interesting. This is why we love baseball. Is it's 162. It's not over in May. It's not over in June. You got to get to the finish line. Whether it's the Giants, the Yankees, or whoever it is, you got to get to the finish line. That's what the game's all about.
I was thinking about when I was working on the Chronicle desk in the mid '70s. You remember Ira Miller?
Sure.
Great sports writer, especially in the NFL. But one summer he was covering the Giants for a while. It was Joe Altobelli was managing. It was a terrible team, and it was in June, and they were just really bad. They clearly weren't going to go anywhere. But it's like June 10th or something. So I'm going to be editing. I'm going to be editing Ira's game story out of Atlanta, and the first paragraph was, "It's over." And we were all just howling on the desk. Then we thought, well, we can't let him write that. I mean, it's June. It's baseball, you know. But sometimes you're tempted to say that. I mean, I was tempted to say that when they lost 8 in a row to the Dodgers, the Giants did, and I certainly didn't give them any chance. But, you know, you think about what can happen, and next thing you know, things do happen, and the Giants are still capable of making that stuff happen. So
that was a great
moment in journalism there.
Ira Miller, came out of Pro Football Hall of Famer, I think, as a writer.
Definitely. Yeah. Covered the Niners for us for years.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, you know, you look at the way this race is, and you look at the Dodgers. I mean, look, they're going to win this division. They're going to win 110 games, whatever. But they don't have a closer. They don't
They sure don't.
Kimbrel cannot do it, whether it's going to be Gatterall or if it's going to be Evan Phillips or some other person. They're going to have to go through that gauntlet without a veteran closer because Kimbrel can't get lefties out. He's just another wild man.
Yeah. You know, it's funny they're bringing Dustin May back today to start for the first time since, like, last year when he had Tommy John. And I don't know if he's going to be able to start. they would probably consider him as a reliever, at least for a while. I don't know about closing, but you know, that's a little bit of a refreshing news for them with the injuries they've had. Bueller being out, really, as far as the postseason goes, you know, the regular season is pretty much over. But with Bueller out, I think a lot of teams in the National League are seeing the Dodgers a little more beatable than they were. And, yeah, the closer is a big problem. Glad to see Trace Thompson still keeping his hand in there. Big hit, great catch last night, still viable. And that's just a fun story because he's Clay's brother.
Yep, yeah, I like it. I like the way he plays. You know, yeah. He's got the hole in the swing on the slider, but who doesn't today?
Yeah,
that's why they throw so many of them. The other one they talked about was maybe making Kershaw the closer. How about that?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, he tends to come out of the gate in his starts, you know, as Kershaw. It's not like, well, you get him early or you don't get him at all. I mean, he's good. He's good early. He comes out of there as a total professional. He doesn't walk the first two guys and – boy, that'd be really interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, you don't want him out there. You know, a real closer is out there like two out of three nights when it really matters in late September. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would ask that of him, but he sure would be a good option, especially if the other team's coming up with a lot of lefties. You know, in the late innings.
Well, I could see them. The dreaded words, closer by committee. I can see the Dodgers doing that. And everyone, you know, is optimistic, you know, because you got Tyler Anderson, you got Haney, you've got Gonsolin, who looks, he's, what, 15 and 1?
You know. For real.
You know, and
Urias has been great, too.
And Urias, yeah, so you feel maybe you could get to those guys a little bit. So we'll see. But the closer thing in San Diego with Hader is a disaster. And Kimbrel is not trusted in L.A., and that's an interesting part of what this baseball season is all about. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Hey, how about Albert Pujols, Bruce? How about the week he had?
Oh, man. He comes off the bench and hits a slam, and then he stays in the game and gets another hit. He's just he's just pure magic. I hope he's – talk about retiring. I want to see him get that 700th home run because he's just would so belong in that very rarest of categories. But he's such a great presence just day-to-day, all day in the dugout and the reverence that the teammates have for him. And I just like the Cardinals. You know, you and I, we basically tend to like the Cardinals every year since, like, you know, 1940 or whatever.
Yes. We like the uniform, yes.
Yeah, it actually goes back farther than that. But, and, you know, with Goldschmidt and Arenado and Pujols, Wainwright, Molina, they're going to hold on to that lead. There's no way Milwaukee catches a team with that much class.
No.
But Pujols, you know, he's going to be getting his chances now. It's not a novelty. It's not a you know, nice farewell tour. He's for real.
Yep, he is. I spoke to Bob Nightingale about this yesterday, and John Rooney, the broadcaster for the Cardinals. He is the legitimate DH against left-handed pitching. This is not a charity case in any sense. That's how well he's hitting left-handed pitching. And he's got 690 home runs, and I know he'd like to get 696, at least a Ty A-Rod. And he's got 16 grand slams. And will he come back next year? They were kind of ambivalent about it. They're not sure if, you know, who would take him back, who would bring him back next year.
Well, it'd have to be the Cardinals. I mean, that's where he started. That's where he should finish. It depends how they finish this year. Depends how the last looks at him are. You know, if they go down and he's striking out and looking his age, you know, they may all mutually agree that that's going to be it. But I'd like to see him go out in a blaze of glory and come back and get that 696 or 701.
I would. I mean, I think it's one of the really great baseball stories so far that we've got going. And I'll tell you another thing. Justin Montgomery and Jose Quintana, that may be the best trade of the deadline. These two guys with Michaelis and Wainwright, and now they've got Pallante. I've heard the whole Cardinals story yesterday. Pallante in the bullpen. They've got Helsley, who throws 105 to close. They're a very dangerous team.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty's starting to do rehab starts.
Is he? I haven't seen that.
He's about ready to come back. But those two deals for Quintana and Montgomery were so good. Two lefties. Montgomery's had three straight really good starts, and you know it's a modern day start. He goes 5 or 5 2/3, whatever. Then you know no runs or one run. He's been absolutely great. He's just what they needed, you know. And that's what the Cardinals have, and the Giants don't have. Lord knows San Diego doesn't have it. They have subtraction, but you know when teams add players and they're really good and they give you a spark for the dog days and beyond, it's really big.
Yep, J.D. Davis did it for the Giants. I like it. And he looks like a legitimate right-handed power threat. He's got that swing. The ball jumps off his bat. But, you know, they probably needed more. But that's one guy that I think has made a big deal. Boy, I'll tell you, we got so many more things to cover. We'll do it tomorrow. But, boy, this has been quite a week. The playoff format, I don't know if you've seen that. We'll talk about that. And finally, Elvis Andrews found a home. Thank goodness for him. But there is a historical note today. And, Bruce, boy, this is the beginning of who knows what. 2008, the umpires agree to instant replay for boundary calls. All right, let's leave it at that. Good luck.
Yeah, as it's evolved, I think there have been times for all of us. I think Dave Fleming, didn't he say, just get rid of replay, just flat out, just get rid of it altogether? Because there are times when, after a really long delay and then they get it wrong, that you just say, just get rid of this. But then, you know, the next night, there's a replay that you absolutely need to see. And maybe it does turn over a call. You need to have it. I'm amazed that they're still in the dark ages, you know, four guys talking to New York. That's completely absurd. A decision has to be made on site by an umpire or maybe even a three-man crew in the press box to make the decision right there. Forget the headphones. I mean, maybe you still need them. You can't yell up to the press box, but forget New York. Keep it on site and shorten it up because it takes way too long. It's especially interesting lately, Marty, because have you noticed how many home plate calls have been overturned on the Posey rule? Mm-hmm. It's been like 8 times in the last 3 weeks or so. You have a play where the throw beats the guy. The catcher, you know, he gets a little bit in the lane. Maybe he takes the lane away, and he's called out. And then the opposition raises a fuss, and oh, sure enough, it's overturned, and the run scores. And you're having some guys are really incensed about it. I don't blame him. I mean, I forget who it was. It was just calling it an embarrassment. It was guys have been out on this for 150 years, but the catchers are starting to cheat a little bit on the Posey rule and getting that leg out over the plate or more, you know, and you can't do that. And if the guy's out pretty clearly and yet he's ruled safe, that's troubling. You have to feel for the team that gets that run taken away. But just one other thing I'll say on that is that you can't be blocking the plate if you don't have the ball. Mm-hmm. But if you're dealing with a throw that whether it to stay off the play, you have to lunge for it with a fully extended left arm with that catcher's mitt to get it, as opposed to just sliding over and catching it square. Okay, you're a little bit on the plate. That's really what you want to do, just to catch the damn thing. But now you're obstructing the plate, and it's it's a conundrum, Marty, is what it is. It's a dilemma and a conundrum.
Well, it's both, and that's not good. It's not good to have both. But the one thing I tell you, I watch all these games. I watch that box on TV, and I watch the umpire, and the ball's here, and it's not in the box. They call a strike. It's on the line. They don't call it a strike. Yeah. And I wish there was a way that they could do the computer and figure it out and make it accurate and get rid of the box, and then you won't have Alex Wood throwing his glove up in the air. He would be kicking a laptop instead. You know, I mean, you couldn't get angry at anybody. I think they need it. I tell you, I think they need it.
Yep, they need to haul it out. As we've said many times, spring training, full month of that. Everybody gets to use it and play with it and figure it out and make some opinions on it. I don't think they'd put it right in on opening day if everybody liked it, but if the next year would probably be good. Mm-hmm. But they have to make that step. As long as it's in the minors, it's all well and good, but until the major leaguers actually test it out, then we're years away.
Mm. All right. Boy, good afternoon, Bruce. It's going to be fun. Giants get a rookie tonight. They should do well, but, you know, that's why you play the game. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Okay.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Marty.
All right. That's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. All right. Walter Ikebalseta, our good colleague, is up next right here on the Sports Leader.